For Connecticut Public Radio, I'm John Henry Smith. We are pleased to have 2nd District Congressman Joe Courtney return to the program, particularly in light of the fact that he's been fighting a bout with COVID-19. Welcome back, sir, and how are you feeling?
Thanks, John. Glad to be back, and definitely feeling much better. I mean, it was about a over 2 week isolation slash quarantine after I was exposed to during my last trip to Washington on the 16th of November, and we had fingers crossed at the beginning of the isolation that it was. I maybe dodged a bullet, but because I did get a negative test on day three, but then started to get some symptoms, and a second test went positive for COVID. So, the symptoms on the spectrum, really were very manageable and mild. I mean, I definitely had, aches and little feverish experience as well as some wheezing, but after about 3 days you really feel like it broke, and definitely had been on the road to recovery, to say the least. Very lucky, very thankful. Still an eye-opener in terms of just the fact that it is a very sneaky, nasty little virus. The exposure was totally inadvertent from a person who I know here in Washington who had no idea they were infected. And, again, the folks at the UConn Health Center that helped with the testing and monitoring, my wife, Audrey, is a nurse practitioner. My daughter, enforced the isolation rigidly. And I'm a lucky guy. I mean, I really feel very, lucky.
Did your colleague Johanna Hayes have any good advice for you in dealing with this? I mean, she, of course, was the first of the Connecticut delegation to pick up the disease.
She did. Again, she volunteered to be my proxy because I, was unavailable for votes right after the exposure. And so we, were communicating that way. And she also, warned me that you're going to feel, some sluggishness and some fatigue, even after, the worst of the symptoms fade away, and she was absolutely right. And again, I think, it was good, frankly, having a friend like her who had experienced this. To be honest, a number of people I knew came out of the woodwork to share their experience, which I had no idea. It was, it affected people who are good friends of me and my family, and this thing is definitely a lot more insidious and widespread than even I was aware of.
We're certainly glad that you are doing much better. Just in a nutshell, what do you see as Rosa DeLauro bringing to the Appropriations Chairmanship? How enthusiastic are you to have her there?
The Connecticut delegation was united and strong for Rosa, who I think is going to be a great leader on the Appropriations Committee. And has earned it the old-fashioned way. I mean, she's put in the time, and Rosa won overwhelmingly, almost 2-1. And it was a really a much more impressive vote than even those of us who were whipping for her. She's an experienced hand, she obviously has an obligation to the caucus and frankly, the House at large. She also works with Republican minority members on the Appropriations Committee quite well. And again, I think she realizes with a narrow majority, you have to work on a bipartisan basis. I mean, it's really math at this point. And in terms of Connecticut specific, she is somebody who is very connected to, I think, a lot of the driving sectors of the state of Connecticut. She represents Yale University. She's very close to the University of Connecticut. It stores, a lot of the federal dollars that go into research, and they're both, top-notch research schools. These are institutions now that don't have to introduce themselves to somebody from another part of the country. She knows them intimately. And, that's just one example of how our region, which has never really had anyone in that position since I think the 1840s, is now going to have a very powerful gavel that will, I think, help advance Connecticut's agenda.
One of the things I've read is on your agenda as chair of the House Armed Services Subcommittee on Sea Power and Protection Forces this week is finalizing the 2021 National Defense Authorization Act, an annual measure that sets defense policy nationwide and would give troops a raise this year. But President Trump has threatened to veto it if you and your colleagues don't include a repeal of some protections for social media companies. I know there's been outrage from both sides of the aisle. What's your take?
It's ridiculous. You can't airdrop a totally non-germane issue at the last second. I mean, it's not even the 11th hour. It's the last second that has no relationship to the work of the committee. And the good news is that the Republican leadership in the Senate has said, forget it. They're not going to, basically flip the table over for the president who's upset with Twitter. And that's really what's driving this. And put, again, at risk military pay raise, all of the programs and services for Agent Orange. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's a big bill. And last night, the good news is Republicans and Democrats signed the conference report. I signed it around 6 o'clock last night, and we're going to vote on it first thing next week. And it's going to the president's desk without his, last-minute peak and issue. And I think when Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi can come together to say, we're not going to fool around with this bill this way, I think he'll sign it.
Well, speaking of Mitch McConnell, he came out against a $908 billion bipartisan stimulus measure yesterday. The Senate also famously rejected a $2.2 trillion House measure a couple of months ago. What is your view on why stimulus is not getting done?
Well, again, it is Mitch McConnell. There's no question that if you listen to the economic experts, including the chairman of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, they are frantic that this economy needs another shot of fiscal help because, we're not out of the woods yet in terms of the pandemic and the recession that it's causing. The Republican senators like Mitt Romney, who came forward a couple days ago with this compromise package, deserve huge credit for stepping out of line with McConnell. And, again, Pelosi and Schumer said they embraced this proposal, which, again, is half the size of the HEROES Act, the last version of the HEROES Act, in goodwill. Because, before getting on the plane, I talked to a small businessman at a restaurant in my district who is literally on the edge of closing its doors and is, doing another round of the Paycheck Protection Program, forgivable loan programs would keep those doors open. This is real life desperation. And, McConnell's got to listen because I know that's happening in Kentucky, just like it's happening in Connecticut. And hopefully, over the next couple of days, because we are going to do the budget bill for 2021, the omnibus budget, and the plan right now is to attach COVID relief to that package, some emergency funding to that package. And I think there's going to be just a huge external pressure on McConnell to recognize when a bipartisan group of senators and House members come together like they did a couple of days ago, that he really is going to lose control of the floor if he doesn't wake up and get serious and negotiate.
It sounds like, from what I've been reading, that Mitch McConnell and the Republicans seem to be very against putting actual checks in the hands of actual citizens. Does it look like to you that direct payments to citizens is dead?
It's not looking like it'll be part of the package. However, the bipartisan package does include an unemployment compensation extension, which, the extra benefit ran out, plus the extended benefits for a state like Connecticut also terminated because our unemployment rate fell below 6% or 8%, rather, sorry. And, replenishing unemployment will put cash in the hands of the people who really are hurting the most, who have been laid off and who now are subsisting on just the bare minimum unemployment benefit, which is, it's not livable income stream. And so I think that's really where you're going to see direct payments will be in the form of an unemployment extension as opposed to a direct payment, which, again, when we did it in the House, we were following economic advice, not political goals. But at this point, the bipartisan group, I think the compromise they put together did not include those direct payments, a second round of those direct payments.
Finally, as the chair of the House Armed Services Committee, you were vexed, I read, about the U.S. Air Force's decision to base some of those huge C-130J aircrafts at Georgia air bases instead of some air bases up north, including one right here in Connecticut. I understand many Democrats feel this is an attempt to influence the upcoming Senate runoff election. What are your thoughts on all that?
So this basing decision can only be explained by politics. Last March, the Air Force announced that they were going to set up three new bases at Air Guard facilities around the country for the C-130Js, which are the most modern cargo airlift planes that Air Guard fly. Again, Connecticut has an airlift wing up at Bradley that flies the old C-130Hs, and those are still good planes, and they're doing great work up at Bradley. Connecticut, though, got into the competition. Again, they had a visit from the Air Force. They, in my opinion, checked all the boxes. We've had a lot of good investment in terms of new hangars, maintenance structures up there, perfectly ready to accept new planes without any new infrastructure. Unfortunately, the decision came out, again, just a few weeks ago, where the Air Force, number one, went with three other bases as part of the competition, but also added a new base, a fourth base, and awarded it to Georgia, which, again, was not part of the bid process or the selection process that was set up back in March. And there was no explanation for that other than they were really trying to throw a bone to Senator Perdue and Senator Loeffler. It just does not pass the smell test. And really the only explanation is that's possible is just that there's a obviously huge national election taking place there with two desperate incumbent senators who will treat this as a feather in their cap. So in the next Congress is chairman of the Sea Power and Projection Forces. Subcommittee Projection Forces includes airlift and sea lift. Believe me, we are going to have the Air Force General Brown front and center to explain, how they can possibly justify this. And again, really, it stinks.
Second District Representative Joe Courtney, we thank you so much for your time, and we're glad you're feeling better.
Thanks, John.